On Monday, Yosemite National Park celebrates the signing of an 1864 law that saved one of the country's most spectacular landscapes and planted the seed for the national park system. The California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca explains that even as Yosemite celebrates, the job of preserving its wonders for the future remains a challenge.
Each year, about 4 million people come to Yosemite to admire its waterfalls and granite domes. A few of them time their visit with the full moon so they can catch a glimpse of a rare phenomenon, a rainbow at night, emerging from the mist at the base of North America's tallest waterfall.
You need swirling winds to help move the mist around. And then you need the moon come up. And that combination is what brings it out.
Photographers like Mark Zabrowski focus their cameras in the darkness. It's nearing midnight, and the full moon is bathing Yosemite Falls in its milky glow.
Just a spectacular view. You know, you look up and you can see the ridges up high and the stars. It fills your eyes. You know, it gives you a lot to feed off.
The naked eye can't usually see the color spectrum of the moonbow, but a long exposure with a camera can capture it, explains photographer Christy McBride.
Looks like something coming out of Harry Potter's wand. Just this thin, silvery band, but the camera caught color.
Photography, in fact, has been key to Yosemite's allure. Historians think it may have helped convince Congress and President Abraham Lincoln to preserve a place most of them would never visit.
The first photographer who came to the Mariposa Grove in 1859 took a picture of the grizzly giant from the angle that we're looking at today.
Ranger and park historian Dean Schenck walks towards one of Yosemite's most famous trees.
The grizzly giant is in the neighborhood of the size of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And amazingly, it has a lean to it that is actually a little bit greater than the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa.
This grove of giant sequoias and Yosemite's iconic valley became the first federally protected wilderness areas when Lincoln signed the grant in June of 1864.
In the midst of our country's Civil War, with all the bloodshed, all the battle, all the anxiety, you know, many of us would like to think that he took a moment and perhaps shook his head or smiled and just perhaps a sigh of pleasure.
These areas were at first entrusted to the state of California and eventually became a national park. Dean Schenck compares the idea of protecting these lands to the seed of a giant sequoia, which is as tiny as an oat flake.
And so that seed planted by Lincoln's signature has expanded to the national park system throughout America.
But Schenck points out even those who urged Congress to preserve Yosemite warned that tourism had to be managed carefully. That includes Frederick Law Olmsted, the landscape architect who helped design New York's Central Park. He served as one of the state commissioners who oversaw the Yosemite land grant.
Not only did he predict the millions of people in the future, but he also said, and so we must be aware of the capricious damage that one visitor might make and then multiply it by the millions.
Today, trams carrying thousands of visitors snake through the giant sequoias on paved roads, and cars hustle tourists to the trees.
Sequoia seedlings are unable to sprout where you have parking lots. And ironically, our large parking lot in the Mariposa Grove is right on top of some of the most prime, best areas that sequoias would like to rejuvenate in.
And so as part of the 150th anniversary celebration, the park plans to tear out these parking lots and remove the trams in an effort to restore the grove to its original condition. Just down the road from the giant sequoia grove, the park still makes room for traditional tourist attractions that allow a taste of Yosemite's early history. George O'Gorman demonstrates the fine points of 19th century blacksmithing for visitors at the Pioneer Village.
I hope they take away the same idea that Lincoln had, and that is not only to preserve the wilderness, but to preserve the way of life that the people lived that came before us and what they went through to provide us with the easy life we have today.
My name is Helen Hogan Coates. I was born in Yosemite in 1927, and I am now 87 years old.
Coates, a Southern Sierra Miwok, is one of the oldest surviving Native Americans born in Yosemite. She worked in the hotel laundry, washing sheets, and as a babysitter for the children of Ansel Adams, the famed Yosemite photographer.
I live right here on the highway that goes to Yosemite. So I see these buses go and go. And I tell my husband, there they go again. They're trampling down my ground again. It's just trampling her down. I said, why don't they give her a rest? They're making it into a Disneyland.
Helen Coates says she hopes visitors coming to commemorate Yosemite's history will stop for a while to think about what this place was like before white settlers arrived a century and a half ago.
I mean, don't just come in there and have a good time, you know, celebrating. You got to have a little spiritual way at looking at the rocks and the trees.
The celebration of the Yosemite Grant continues through the rest of the year. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Yosemite National Park.